Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. We're quickly going to do an international story that's been developing, and that's obviously the story in Syria. And we thought we'll get former diplomat and director at Risk Recon, Dr. Kingsley Makubela, just to help us recap on what is happening this evening. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Makubela, for making time for us on a public holiday. I really appreciate it. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you, Pamela. Good evening.
Sure. A lot has happened since you and I spoke in Syria. I just want to touch quickly on the latest reports coming through on Facebook. Bashar al-Assad posting, you know, a comment on Facebook earlier on today saying, you know, he didn't abandon the people of Syria. Just quickly, what did you make of that statement? This is obviously his first statement since he left Syria.
It is a first statement, Pamela, precisely. I find the statement quite confusing because he really states some events that led to his eventual departure from Syria. But they are neither here nor there. Because the higher Tahrir al-Sham were taking over.
Mm-hmm.
He left under pressure. So whatever he says in that one-page message is neither here nor there.
Mm. He speaks of being pressured, obviously. I know you're saying that it's not here nor there, by Israel that insisted that he leaves. I just want to touch on Israel's involvement here and how you personally are reading the involvement, you know, the bombings and obviously what they are making sense of. They are saying this is to protect the military assets of Syria. That's their rhetoric. Clearly, it's now becoming quite evident that there's more destruction than what I would think is protection. What are you reading into Israel's, I would also maybe call it invasion. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, to understand the dynamics of what's going on in Syria, it'll be better to just backtrack.
Yes.
And understand who are the people who have taken over Syria. Now, if you look at Jolani, first, actually, his organization, which is called Tahrir al-Sham, which essentially means the Assembly for the Liberation of Syria, was first formed in 2011 by Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who was eventually killed by the Americans, a very strong al-Qaeda man. And in when it was first formed, his organization, the HTM, when it was first formed, there were differences between Jolani and Baghdadi. And eventually, Jolani broke away to form this current organization that has taken over Syria, this Assembly for the Liberation of Syria. So he has some roots in far extremists within the Islamic faith. That's why ISIS actually declare him an apostate. So that's where the fear is, because he has beheaded, Jolani has beheaded a lot of people also, and they've publicized his beheading. So Israel is quite uncomfortable about him. They know that he's leading a group of jihadis who may turn against him. So the fear about Israel, it's unfounded, though. A few days ago, I think sometimes last week, Israel sent the head of Shin Bet, which is the domestic intelligence, Ronen Bar, to go and have discussions with Jordan, because Jordan is concerned about the events in Syria, and the fear is that it may create similar situation in Jordan.
Mm.
So There are some fear mongering that are being played around to try to drive some fear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at what Israel has done, it's decimated the defense capacity of Syria. They bombed all the air force of Syria, the navy, and so on. So, and as Jolani has not said anything, not even condemnation about the bombing of Israel, which leads to many people who are saying he's been an agent of Mossad.
Double. Yeah. And this is interesting because, you know, obviously there's some sort of an interim leadership going on there. Quite interesting that they are themselves saying that they would like the U.S. and other countries to reconsider Hayat Tahir al-Sham, as you are saying, you know, making it an interesting, complicated kind of scenario, because if they're respecting the U.S. and others to reconsider how they view Tahir al-Sham, what's your take on that? Do you think that's even possible?
You know, there are reports today that the United Kingdom is making contact with Jolani.
Mm.
So there's some form of rapprochement that is coming up. Remember, the United States actually
yes.
has a $10 million bounty on his head.
Yeah.
And there's a pressure now from within the United States to remove that. There's also a pressure to remove the organization as a terrorist organization, the Tahrir al-Sham, as a terrorist organization.
Yes.
So people are trying to position themselves, giving the complexity of the situation in Syria, because you find a lot of forces in Syria. It's really unpredictable. Up to today, even though they've appointed an interim prime minister who comes, Tahrir al-Sham, but there's no confidence in terms of the direction that it will be taking. You would have seen also the U.S. Secretary of State issuing out statements about the expectation of what they would like to see in Syria. They start to have a roadmap for Syria that doesn't include Syrians. So those are the challenges that you see now. Turkey is doing the same. They are running there. You know, Pimelo, there was a very interesting article by the Los Angeles Times that really captures the confusion that is going on.
Mm-hmm.
They issued out this article on the 9th, which says actually that the Syrian militias groups,
mm-hmm.
one side was funded and supported by the Pentagon,
mm-hmm.
and the other side was funded and supported by the CIA. So it tells you about the level of confusion and
wow.
the problems that are there in terms of putting this thing together. If from the same government, two entities
wow.
are supporting different factions.
Wow.
And it's a huge problem.
Wow. That is quite an interesting. I'd love to go and have a look at that. And in the mix there, while you have President-elect Donald Trump himself pointing to Turkey, saying they will hold the key to what happens in Syria, murking waters even further.
You know, I watched President Donald Trump press conference earlier this evening, which he went on for an hour. He thinks that the Middle East is less complicated for him.
Mm.
And I think he is quite right, because the only key is to control the Israeli behavior, which is really militarizing and creating militants in that area, the whole Levant area. It's becoming a beehive for militants, the resentment of Israel.
Mm.
I mean, you'd have seen now Israel is moving the Golan Heights, they're expanding the occupation.
Mm.
Germany has issued out a statement to say actually the occupation of the Golan Heights it's an occupation as opposed to being part of the Israeli state. So there's a resentment in terms of the behavior of Israel. And the recognition is that it will create a lot of militants in the area. And given what is going on in Syria, Syria will become a melting pot for different factions. Remember, the term ISIS, which is the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria,
yes,
it includes militants from the area. And it's much more dominated by the Sunnis that really subscribe to Al-Wahhab's teaching,
mm-hmm.
which gives a lot of problems to the Americans, sleepless nights to the Americans. But, you know, that's where, Pimelo, you say maybe I also have a cognitive dissonance. One, have a one fact that the changes couldn't happen without the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, there's changes that have happened independently of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I hold two views on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm saying you'd be quite correct to say there's some level of cognitive dissonance in me.
No.
But it's a reflection of how problematic is the area.
No. It makes perfect sense to me. In fact, that's partly what makes all of this complicated. It's the involvement of so many. And it's not always that black and white, unfortunately. What then is the position of Moscow at this moment? Because, you know, took him in, took al-Assad in. The question is, will Russia keep him there? Will they not change their mind about him being there?
You know, the Russians have left some of the military bases. They left a base in Ain al-Arab.
Yeah.
And that base has been occupied by the Americans. They moved in day before yesterday.
Yeah.
But the Russians are keeping the strategic port where they have their naval force. And there's an Air Force base that they are keeping.
Mm.
And I've seen a statement by Peskov, the spokesperson of the Kremlin, saying they haven't made up their mind as to whether they're going to vacate that or they're going to keep on occupying those bases.
Mm.
But because they have an agreement, they have a lease with al-Assad about those bases. You actually go to the same situation as Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, where the Cubans have leased, during Salazar, have leased that part of Cuba to the United States. And in terms of international law, it's recognized as a legitimate lease. So the Russians are having the same thing. Will they occupy that? And I've seen some forces again within Chechnya who are very supportive of President Putin. They're trying to say to him, remove this organization, the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, from a group of terrorists.
Mm.
Because, as you know, the Chechen are much more Islamic in their faith. And they, even though they support the Kremlin, but they have a big influence in terms of the Islamic world.
I think we've lost Dr. Makubele.
Are you there?
We are here. We just, for some reason, lost you right in the middle of your sentence. Please carry on.
No, I was saying this occupation basis that the Russians are having and the influence that they are coming from the Chechens may really see a different approach, because Chechnya, the leader of Chechnya, is proposing that he actually becomes an envoy of the president to Syria to try to really repair the relations, and mainly because of the belief in their religious faith.
Look, we'll talk some more, because there is a lot more to discuss when it comes to what's happening in Syria. As I said, it's a developing story. But quickly, as we round off, you know, obviously is the economy in Syria. We know that just ordinary citizens were unhappy with just the living conditions of people on the ground. But that country's banks, for instance, Central Bank, didn't really hold as much money when you look at the assets that it held. Gold, nearly 26 tons of gold reserves there. And perhaps one has to analyze all of that and what it means for the country.
You know, Pimelo, the biggest issue would be the oil resource in Idlib, which we have been carried across to Turkey by the rebel group. Now that they are in government, how are they going to turn those resources into government?
Mm.
And some of the oil fields that are occupied by the Americans, are they going to keep on looting this oil, or are they going to use that oil for the development of the country?
Mm.
There are also views that al-Assad has looted billions of dollars in cash, and I've seen reports earlier this afternoon speaking about 120 million. And earlier on, there was a suggestion of 3-something billion in cash shipped to Russia.
Mm.
So no one knows exactly what's going on. And amidst all this confusion is what happened to the asset of the country, because the country is very rich. So the breakdown will lead to some people looting. And particularly when there's lawlessness, people in government, even the incoming rebels, they will have themselves to the exchequer, to the treasurer.
Appreciate your time. We'll talk some more as the story develops. But thank you very, very much for your take.
And, thanks very much, Pimelo.
Happy really Reconciliation Day. Thank you very much, former diplomat and director at Risk Recon, Dr. Kingsley Makubele.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.